are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, hoops heads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. As usual, you can check me out on BleacherReport.com, where I am a credentialed member of the Warriors journalistic community, as well as Forbes.com, where I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. Today we have a guest, Doug Lopez, who is a high school friend and also an analyst at Hudson Ventures, is it?
Hudson Advisors.
But more than that, he's a huge Warriors fan and loves stats. Like I said yesterday, almost as much as I do. I think he likes stats more than I do. So that's going to be a boon for our show today. Big game today in the NBA. We've got the Warriors visiting Oklahoma City. You know, it's one of them Kevin Durant returns, but this time there's Paul George and Carmelo Anthony standing on the other side, along with Steven Adams and Russell Westbrook and Andre Roberson. Nobody's really thinking about him, but, you know, he is there. So that's where we'll start. Then we'll hit up bench play. Nick Young and Kevon Looney have been playing out of their minds. And in our final segment, we'll address the problems with the Warriors turning it on after the first half. But first, we'll start with a little introduction. Douglas and I go back about more than a decade, high school and college. We went to Columbia together, and Douglas has some fire in him. Fire about the Warriors. So tell us a little bit about who you are, Doug, your fandom, and you know, what you see about the Warriors this season.
I'm originally from Oakland. Aliko and I went to school together for about 8 years. And I'm currently living in Manhattan, working as a financial analyst, but I still make time to watch the Warriors whenever they're on, and usually have to end up spending some late nights watching our Warriors play because they come on at 10:30 my time.
Yeah, isn't that fun? I remember doing that when I was living in New York, staying up until 1 every morning. There was one season I must have watched 75 games, and I don't know how I slept. I had to get up at 5 a lot of the time to get to work at 7 when I was doing content at Bleacher, and I survived. I get so much more sleep now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a grind. The season is a grind, but I love every second of it. Yeah. Watching every game is, like, incredible, especially now that we're, you know, kind of out of the doldrums and we're kicking ass and doing everything that we need to do to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, almost everything. We're not putting together 48 minutes yet, but, that will come. So anyway, let's get to our first segment. This big, really exciting game tonight. The Thunder not necessarily playing extremely well, but they're going to get up for the Warriors just like every other team does. And we'll start with the Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry matchup. What do you see there? And have you seen Russ play at all this season?
I've seen bits and pieces of OKC games. I've been trying to check them out just to understand how they're integrating Paul George and Carmelo into their offense. To be honest, it looks to me like it's a lot of the same sets they ran last year, a lot of high pick and rolls and a spread floor. But this time around, they got
the personnel
shooters that can actually make the shots, that the kickouts that Westbrook is setting up for them. In terms of the matchup, the point guard matchup, we've watched this scenario play out a couple of times over the past few seasons. I think Westbrook is going to continue to play how he plays. He's going to be aggressive, attacking the rim, sometimes a little too reckless, in my opinion. And Curry's going to try and stay in front of him as best he can. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of switching with Klay Thompson picking up Westbrook, either for the full game or, you know, opportunistically as they, cross-match, getting back in transition.
Yeah, Curry's taking a lot of point guards so far this season, and it's been interesting to see their mentality there. I feel like Curry takes it upon himself. He gained maybe 5 pounds over the
He looks good.
He looks good.
He's playing great defense. You know, he is not the Chris Paul type of point guard, a dog that uses his body and is going to, you know, rip off a bunch of steals and really take someone out of the game. But positionally, he is usually always in the right position
right.
in terms of the rotation.
Plays the passing lane so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very good at taking those passing lanes away where he's also able to get back into the defense.
Yeah.
He's not going to gamble too much. And he's, you know, I've been very happy with his defense. I think it's an underrated part of his game that a lot of people don't recognize.
I agree with you, and it's also put him in a position to get a lot of defensive rebounds as well.
Yeah.
He finds himself in the middle of the floor, and he's just inhaling rebounds, which has been helpful because I'm not sure who gets those rebounds if he doesn't.
Well, yeah, everyone, going back to last season, there was always talk about, oh, who's going to rebound for them? They lost Bogut, who was grabbing around 8-9 boards a game for us, and it's really been by committee. You're seeing a lot of blockouts from Zaza and Durant, and a tip ends up going to Draymond or Clay or Curry in a lot of cases, which then initiates our break. But it's a lot of rebounding by committee, and if Curry isn't there to, you know, grab those boards, you could end up with a lot of offensive rebounds that used to kill us in previous seasons. It doesn't really seem like it's bothering us.
No, it definitely doesn't. You know, it's interesting when we, because we're not necessarily winning the rebound battle every game. Actually, I don't think we're winning the rebound battle in most games. Last I checked, we were 8th in the league in rebounding, so we're up there. But rebounding isn't necessarily one of those things that the Warriors are known for.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really big for us with the big front line, Steven Adams, obviously Melo and Paul George. And then, of course, Mr. Triple-Double is going to be at the, you know, at the defensive he's going to be rebounding the ball. So I think that's going to be a big thing for us.
I think the rebounding battle is significant, more so on the offensive side. I think the Thunder are grabbing like 10 offensive rebounds a game. Steven Adams, I think, is grabbing about 4.
Mm.
So that is where I'm most concerned. They're long. Melo likes to do that thing where he'll miss a jump shot, grab it, tip it around the basket, and finish it. So we
commit offensive fouls while he's doing it.
yeah, I'm sure there's a little shoving going on every once in a while. But that's where I'm most concerned about the rebounding battle is Steven Adams, Melo, PG, Russ getting in there and getting second chance opportunities, and that's just deflating for our team, and it's obviously frustrating for Coach Kerr and everything like that. But
so who what's your favorite matchup from this game?
Well, I'm actually going to be interested to see how they are going to set up their rotations, whether they're going to run their stars together or they're going to stagger their stars. I'm interested to see who's going to play together on their side. I think their starting five matches up well with us in terms of size and speed. Their defensive intensity is going to be good.
And IQ.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see, you know, who's Paul George going to guard? How are they going to set up their, defense when Roberson is on the floor, and conversely on offense, especially given Roberson's, you know, poor shooting ability?
Yeah, dude. Watching Roberson shoot is depressing.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how they're going to line up and how they're going to stagger their stars, because I think our advantage is really going to come from our bench.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that they have the star power to play with anybody in the league in terms of their starting five, but they're coming off their bench. You know, you have Jeremy Grant, Abrines, Ray Felton.
Oh God, yeah, Ray Felton, Ray Fatty. I love Ray Felton, but dude has been fat for a long time. He was fat in New York. He was fat in Portland. You know,
I think that's a big deal,
yeah.
Right? Like, they're coming in against Sean Livingston, David West, Nick Young, Kevon. We have a lot of depth, and we have the ability to run one of our stars and some of our bench players basically all game. And I'm interested to see, you know, are they going to put Melo out there and have him ISO with their second unit? When we're
that would be fun to watch.
When it'd be a throwback to the Knicks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or are they going to run PG by himself? You know, I think their best option when they're sitting Russ is probably to sit Russ and Melo and run PG by himself, because he's such a great natural scorer and he can create and he's willing to let the ball move. I think that if they put Melo out there with their second unit guys, that's probably not going to be the best matchup for them.
For sure. He's not as big of a creator just not as good a defensive player as well. So there would be that defensive issue on the other end playing against the Warriors bench. Tell me about Paul George. He's only scoring 20 points a game in his new role, but he's somewhat efficient. Have you seen potential for him to really come into his own in his role there, or is it really just like a stopover until he makes his way to Los Angeles or where have you?
I think he's a stud. I think he's been kind of integrating himself. And over the past, I'd say month, you know, I think he had a 40 point game. He had another like 37 point game following that. Like, I think he's starting to figure out where he can score. And I think they're starting to realize that he needs the ball in his hands. He needs to be getting set up. He should be, in my opinion, their leading scorer. I have seen that they're running him off more pin downs on the offside, and they're getting him more,
solid off open
ball,
shots,
off ball screening action to get him freed up so he can get some easier looks. But I think I'm not sure if he's, you know, the LA thing has been a big topic. I'm not sure if he's going to end up staying in OKC, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they have
the team. They have the core.
Yeah, they have the core, and all they need to do is build around it. And Sam Presti is, like, just incredible at making it work.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm interested to see how Paul George plays tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see if he's going to guard Durant.
Right. Who is probable, been updated to probable from questionable. So he'll probably play. That'll be big. He'll get some cheers, some boos, some cupcakes. And, you know, I'm sure that we can expect him to be the leading scorer on the Warriors side tonight. You know, whenever they come back, they try to feed him the ball and make sure that he gets his touches, because he feels very strongly about his time in OKC. Did you read that? Was it Bucher talking to KD on for Bleacher Report recently, where he doubled down on his anti-criticism.
Yeah, I did read the article. That was the one where he said, "I'm still OKC."
Yeah.
Yeah, I skimmed through that. I think it was a lot of stuff that we've kind of already heard. He did have some interesting comments regarding the amount of hate and, like, just, like, vitriol he got from the fan base. And, like, I can see it both ways. Obviously, we've benefited from getting him, so it's hard for me to see that, like, objectively and not be like, well, you know, he made his choice. At the same time, I think that, you know, he gives you an MVP season, takes you to the finals, gives you multiple All-Stars, puts your team in a position where you're, like, no longer a laughingstock in the league. I think there has to be some, like, at least just, like, basic fan respect there.
I agree. And then also, moving from Seattle to Oklahoma City, didn't bat an eye, didn't say nothing. Yeah, he probably expected to play in Seattle for his first 4 or 5 years in the league, at least, if not longer. Seattle's a city. Oklahoma City, despite the name, it's a town. It's a town. And, you know, it's a nice town, but it's a weird place for a 6'13" black guy to find himself. And Durant certainly became a man in Oklahoma City. And I think that there's not enough said about how well he represented Oklahoma City while he was there. So hopefully the Oklahoma City fans are happy with their haul over the offseason. You know,
they have to be.
They got a top 10 player in Paul George and a top 20 player in Carmelo, I think. Top 20? Maybe
We probably not anymore, but definitely one of the best third wheels you could probably get.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially given their lack of trade pieces and all that.
Yeah, so I think what we'll see is some cheers. I think we'll see some cheers.
I hope so. Honestly, I couldn't care less about what their fans think. I want to see Durant put down his 35-plus that he's been averaging against OKC over the past season and see what happens. Like, I know that he's going to be locked in. So, sure. You know, we'll see what, you know, how we play against their defense. Hopefully we play disciplined and take care of the basketball and play defense. And if we do that, the offense is going to take care of itself.
For sure. For sure. I agree with you there. I want to talk about Nick Young and Kevon Looney. But first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you're trying to target men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com to find out. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already joined Draft 2. Play in a real-life NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but first you have to use my promo code, LOWARRIORS. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code, LOWARRIORS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Warriors podcast listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LOWARRIORS. All right, back to the topic at hand. We've seen some incredible bench play from the Warriors so far this season. And, you know, I could name a bunch of players that I think have been absolutely exceptional. Obviously, I've talked about Caspi. I think David West has been incredible. But we're here today to talk about Nick Swaggy P. Young and Kevon Looney, who has found his way into the rotation and is playing some outstanding basketball. We'll start with Swaggy P. I was never a fan of his game until he came to the Warriors, and it's really funny because he kind of plays in this way that really suits you know, playing alongside the Warriors. I got an email from a listener about Swaggy P, where he basically asked about chemistry between Swaggy P and Curry. There was a brilliant moment, he says, late in the Brooklyn game where Steph was sitting on the pine surrounded by two nets and furiously, exquisitely dribbling the ball away from them. I remember this moment. It was definitely fun to watch. The whole arena was going, ooh, ah, it was great. Nick was on the right wing and Steph, sitting on the court surrounded by nets, tossed it out to Nick perfectly. Nick took off down the court with this, this is a quote from the email, this other level grin that seemed to me as though he were thinking, at last, someone who plays the way I play. So this listener asks, do you think there's the potential for a unique chemistry? Could Steph pull out a whole new level of Nick Young? And so we'll start there. Nick, he loves to play basketball, obviously. He doesn't really love practice. He doesn't love showing up on time. But he loves to play basketball, and he loves to shoot. So you are really high on him right now. Tell me what you like.
Well, first, the other level grin, is that's totally true. I love seeing that on the floor. I think he clearly struggled at the beginning of the season.
Wasn't in great shape.
Yeah, didn't come into training camp, you know, in great shape. He was struggling shooting the ball, and all of that was amplified by the fact that he was having trouble fitting into our defensive system. He was having trouble staying in front of people, and he was missing a lot of rotations. And obviously, we heard Kerr say, you know, Pat McCaw is going to take the backup shooting guard role early in the season, and I get the feeling that Nick Young was not happy about that. But the last, I would say the last like 4 or 5 games, he's been like really playing well. Yeah. And I think it's all starting on the defensive end. He's coming off the bench. He's still missing some off-ball rotations, but in terms of keeping his man in front, he's playing good on-ball defense.
I agree with you. He's moving his feet very
well. Yeah, and I think it's like it's almost automatic watching him play. When he makes a solid defensive play and we're coming down in transition, he knows he's getting that ball. and it's almost like I'm expecting him to make that shot. And I think it's all starting from he's playing the defense, he's making a good play. The team, he's like learning that if he makes good plays, he's going to get rewarded on the other end. And then it's just kind of a domino effect. You know, he makes the stop, runs down, hits the three in transition, and you go back and rinse and repeat. I think it's been pretty awesome to see him like improve.
I agree. What do you think about his shot selection?
I think in general he's taking most of his shots on catch and shoot opportunities, which is fine by me. He shot like 44% on catch and shoots last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with him on catching and shooting and taking threes. And even if some of them are slightly contested, I'm fine with that. But he does have a propensity to like stop the ball sometimes and take some dribbles and then jack it up, which I think needs to be cut out.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've seen from him is the backdoor cutting. Kind of like what Ian Clark was known for last year. Mm. I think he noticed that if he's bottled up on the offside, if he just makes a backdoor cut, D. West is going to find him, or Draymond's going to find him, or Zaza, or whoever, and he's gotten some like easy layups off of that.
For sure.
So I think his shot selection, especially when the ball stops, is poor. But when the ball is moving and he's just, you know, moving on the perimeter, I think he's fine.
Yeah, and he's been shooting the lights out as well. I don't know exactly what his percentages are right now. While we're talking, I'm going to go ahead and look those up. But it feels like sometimes when he's taking a shot, even a contested shot, you see him, he feels like it's going to go in. That makes me feel like it's going to go in. You know, and I'm not necessarily scared of him touching the ball and taking shots, even though at the beginning of the season I kind of was. Even though in that first game, you know, he shot the lights out. There was some, there was some questionable.
Heat checks. He likes the heat check.
The Nick Young heat check doesn't scare me as much as it used to. And that's something, there's something to be said for that. He's shooting pretty well. I think he fits right in culturally as well.
Yeah.
The team, has fun. They play music during practices. Nick Young always has a smile on his face. Always.
Yeah.
He always has a smile on his face. Like, I'm around this guy now, and, you know, when he doesn't have a smile on his face, that's the moment where I'm like, I wonder what Nick Young is thinking right now. Like, you know? Because he's just not as... he's got that Dwight Howard thing, you know, where it's
he's a little goofy.
Yeah.
But he clearly likes to play basketball. And when he's dialed in and he is, you know, focused, he can play. And he's big.
Yeah.
He's big. He's like a solid on-ball defender.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Just watching like the Sixer game, the Sixers announcers were kind of crapping on him for his on-ball defense during the game. Funny enough, he came down and hit a three on the next possession.
Yeah, you like probably hear them.
Yeah, but I think he's just a solid ball player, and I think he's buying into the system.
Yeah.
And well,
Steve Kerr. Yeah, Steve Kerr thinks so too, and Bob Myers, they gave him, what, the mid-level?
Yeah, mid-level exception.
Yeah, and so he's listed at 6'7", 210. He is a big guy. He's a clay-sized guy. This year from three, he's shooting, 41% on 4 three-pointers a game, 1.6 out of 3.9. That's excellent. That's exactly what we want from him when he goes out there. It's just to knock down shots. He's averaging 6 points a game and, you know, play good defense.
Yeah.
What else do you have to say about Nick Young?
Not much. Honestly, I'm impressed so far. Yeah. Like, I kind of knew going in that he was going to take some time to adjust, and the defense was always kind of suspect, even though he got a lot of praise from Luke Walton in the off season. But so far he's done more than actually I expected, especially on defense. And I think his, the way that he's been bringing energy off the bench, I've been really impressed with. So I'm overall like really happy with the pickup. Sad that we had to see Ian Clark go, but yeah, I think in terms of a backup two guard, he's doing it.
Where did Ian end up? New Orleans?
Yeah.
So we'll be seeing him on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. That'll be exciting. They'll be at Oracle with Boogie, the recently ejected Boogie. And AD, that's going to be a really great game. Our rotation is going to be very interesting for that game. But before that, we got Chicago, and before that, we've got Oklahoma City tonight. So that's what we're going to be thinking about right now. But I want to shift to Kevon Looney, who also has been playing out of his mind, rebounding, boxing out, making good passes from the post, just being in the right position at the right time, blocking shots.
Yeah,
which, you know, is huge because the Warriors lead the league in blocks, and Kevon has earned a lot of minutes at the five next to in some really interesting lineups. So let's start there. Like, what's your favorite lineup that you've seen Kevon play in? Who do you like him playing next to?
I think he's best with most of our starters in the game. When he's taking Zaza's place, I think he's put in a position where he doesn't have to do too much and he can really focus on his strengths. So I like him in place of Zaza with the starters. I think that even taking, say, Clay out of the game and putting Iguodala in instead is also a good lineup to have Looney in. I think just having him with more of the veteran guys where he can really just focus on grabbing boards, making his rotations, making the occasional kickout pass and finishing. Mm-hmm. Like he's best in that position. Cause I think, I haven't really noticed him in the second unit all that much. Cause I think we like to run, David West at the five there. Yeah. And West is so good passing the ball from the elbows that it, like having another five in there would kind of like
muddle things up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clutter up the space. So I think Kevon, especially coming in the third, he's, like, had some really great minutes with our starters.
He did. Yeah. He had some really good minutes in that incredible third quarter in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Played, I think, 6 minutes in that quarter, and I can't remember his exact stats, but he was everywhere. And really fed off of what the entire team was doing in that quarter.
He also had great minutes in against Philly and Oracle in the third as well. And that was when we were making our run, and it's not like he's playing, you know, picture perfect basketball, but he's, you know, playing great defense. He's rebounding. He's finishing in the lane in a way that Zaza really
can't
do with those slip passes from Curry. He can actually just rise up and dunk those.
How many times has Zaza been dunked? Has been blocked? Because he can't get up.
Countless.
I mean, Jesus Christ. We know he's 34, 35, however old he is. He's 7'1", 270 pounds. He's a huge guy. But my sweet Lord, he gets blocked sometimes by, like, tiny guys. Because his
they
elevation...
catch up to him.
He's slow and his elevation is maybe 2 inches. But he does so many other incredible things for him that I really should stop talking mess.
I think he knows where he's at finishing wise, and usually he's looking either to like dump that off to somebody or, you know, throw up a floater or something. But like Kevon just gives us another look. Like I think he's even really been taking minutes from JaVale, who we used as a lob threat most of last year.
Right. And minutes from Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
Who's been inactive the last few games.
Yeah, and I think that's primarily because Kevon's just been killing it.
Better.
Yeah.
Better. Probably better in practices.
He's more mature.
Yeah.
And, like, this is the first time we've seen him actually move well. Like,
oh, yeah. He lost 25 pounds over the offseason. Yeah. That was big.
And his hips are healed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, last year, the year before, when he was a rookie, seeing him move was, like, awkward. He was stiff, kind of, like, couldn't really get down into, like, a crouched defensive position. He was just struggling, but he looks good now.
He's moving very freely.
Yeah. So I've been really happy with him. I'm glad that he's, like, doing well. He's a player that you just, like, are happy to see perform well.
Yeah, I agree completely. And he's so good to the media, too. He's really nice. He answers questions in, like, complete sentences. So we appreciate him when he does get out there on the podium or when, we ask him questions in the locker room. We appreciate you, Kevon. We appreciate you. All right, now that we've thoroughly covered the bench, I want to move on to a phenomenon in Golden State that is... Well, Golden State isn't a place. Okay. A phenomenon in Oakland that is... it's really 3 or 4 years running where the Warriors sometimes fall asleep a little bit or a team gives them their best shot. They get punched in the mouth. And, it's a close game or they're down at halftime. And then in the third quarter, something seems to happen and they just switch. And, there was an example of that, obviously, in Philadelphia, both Philadelphia cases. But the second one especially was the prime example from the beginning of the season, them just turning on a switch, a defensive switch, an offensive switch, and just, going into warp speed and blowing the competition away. But you, I know, Doug, think it's a problem that we're not getting up, so what's up with that?
We've had this conversation before. Like, I'm not like a switch guy. I think that even in the regular season, like, habits need to be made.
I forgot to mention, Douglas was a walk-on to the Columbia basketball team, so he knows a shit ton about switches.
I think that we kind of fall asleep in the first half, or we're expecting just to kind of roll them over with offense. And then in at halftime, we make adjustments, which is great. And, end up, locking in. I'm just a little concerned that we're going to make, like, we're going to build some bad habits. And that's not even from, like, watching us. I kind of look at it from, like, Cleveland last year. Like, they had that thing where they were, like, they weren't really playing defense and people kept harping on it. And they're like, oh, well, we'll start playing defense a little farther down the road, right? And then what happens is they get into the playoffs. They can turn on the effort individually on defense, but their rotations aren't sound and they don't have the habits to play good team defense. Mm-hmm. And then they end up getting lost on screens. Like the JR Kyrie Irving pick and roll was, like, disastrous for them.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a little extreme of an example because we're consistently a strong defensive team in the regular season. I'm just concerned about the lack of focus from, like, the beginning of the game.
I agree.
There are games that we should put away in the first and second quarters.
Yeah.
Right. And if we can just keep the focus through 48, I think it's, in the long run, it's just going to be easier on our team and it's going to be better for our team because we'll have built strong habits and we will have given our starters a chance to rest and we will have given our young guys a chance to get in the game earlier if we've built a lead and we're maintaining a lead.
Right.
And give them experience that down the road, especially in the playoffs, could come to an advantage.
Right. Especially because Steve Kerr is not the kind of guy that's going to cut down on his rotations in the playoffs. Everybody's going
to
play.
Yeah. And that's like, we want our guys to be fresh and usually we do get our bench guys some decent minutes because we just generally seem to not platoon, but we run a deep, rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not so much concerned or think it's a big issue because we do make great adjustments. I just think that,
it's annoying, frankly.
Yeah, well, it's for the fan, it's just sometimes like difficult to watch, you know, because it's kind of a roller coaster. But there are some teams, in my opinion, that we should just put away.
Yeah.
And in big games, we should just, it should just be over.
From the start.
Yeah.
From the start.
Like, I can think of, like, the Boston game was one of those games. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of just let them get back into it. And
got lackadaisical. And
it's things that we do to other people that they're also doing to us, mm-hmm. right? How, like,
17-point leads that we've given in that game.
But, what, 3 losses that we've had this year, the team has come back.
Yeah.
And we do that to people a lot of the time. They build up a lead, we come back, and we make it interesting, and they end up fumbling it.
Right.
And because we're so good offensively, because we're so
and
good
defensively,
we can do that a lot more successfully than other people can.
But that doesn't mean we should have to.
No, I think...
I say we. No wheeze from Alico. I'm an unbiased member. I'm an unbiased member of the journalistic community. I want to reiterate that. I just happen to have been a Warriors fan my entire life. So you're just going to have to accept it. It just is the way it is. And this is, of course, a Warriors podcast.
It's a built habit.
Yeah, it's a built habit. I mean, if Bill Simmons can say we about the Celtics and the Clippers, then I can say we about the Warriors, right?
Bill Simmons is a Clipper fan?
Of course. He's been living in Los Angeles for decades.
And I don't like that.
Couldn't necessarily be a Laker fan now, could he? No, he went to Clipper games when he was Yeah, so he loves the Clippers. But yeah, you know, I agree with you completely, Doug. I don't think that it's one of those things that's going to cost us the championship or anything like that.
No.
If there's anything that'll cost us a championship, it could, you know, I don't even want to get into worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
But they haven't put together 48 minutes. Kerr is frustrated that they don't seem to be able to put together for 48 minutes. Well, you know what? Kerr is not frustrated. He's just irked.
I think he's actually been very, like, even keeled about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably has come to grips with the fact that they're not, like, super focused for every game.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not January, it's not February, it's not April.
Yeah, and if we, like, I think we're back in terms of top 10 on defense, our offense is pacing the league. Like, if we were exhibiting truly bad habits, like we weren't making our rotations and guys were getting beat, then I think he would probably be a little bit more upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, we're still playing solid basketball. We just kind of have these lapses. And we've also kind of self-corrected fairly well this mm-hmm. season. The Detroit loss sprung our win streak, and that was a 23 turnover game.
Yeah.
And since then, we really haven't seen like a really bad issue with the turnovers. And the defense, we kind of had a lot of missed rotations in that first game against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, the rotations have been better. So I think we're self-correcting. It's just a matter of, I guess, staying focused.
For sure.
Yeah.
Are we back in the top? We are back in the top 10. Good for you, Doug. We are officially 9th in defensive rating.
Yeah.
That is very cool. At 105.0, we can do better.
Definitely.
The Warriors can definitely do better and they will do better, as I've said in the past. And like you said, pacing the league in offensive rating and I believe pacing the league in plus minus. So
I think our differential is
around 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we can pick nits all we want. But the team is still one of the top 2 or 3 best teams in the league as of right now. And they're not even playing their best basketball. So it's exciting to watch. We're looking forward to this big matchup in Oklahoma City tonight. And thank you, Douglas, for joining us on Locked On Warriors. You've been listening to Locked On Warriors, from the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Alico Carter, and I will be taking a break to eat some turkey, watch some football, and we'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening, Hoops Heads, and hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.